Welcome to another episode of Librarians with Lattes, a podcast dedicated to being informed, reading, and staying caffeinated. My name is Amanda Lau, and I am the Outreach and Marketing Librarian here at the University at Albany Libraries. I'll be standing in for our regular host, Karina Ricker, for this month's episode. Today, I'm being joined by Lauren Pougier, who is the Reference and Projects Librarian at the Dewey Library on University's downtown campus. How are you doing today, Lauren?
Hi, Amanda. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. I see you have some Starbucks, as do I.
Yes. Today, I brought in peppermint tea because it's very calming.
And it goes with the whole kind of
holiday
season,
theme.
Right?
Yeah.
December's mint everything.
Oh, yes. Delicious.
All right. So it is December. So students at universities all over the place are gearing up for finals, or they're already in them, right? And it could be a pretty tough time of year for everyone, which brings us to our conversation today, which is centering mostly around wellness and stress relief. So Lauren, I'd like to start by asking how you would identify the differences between good stresses and bad stresses.
Well, everybody needs a little bit of stress in our lives, and it's actually good to have some stress. It causes us to, you know, actually get up in the morning, be productive, do things, because we have those everyday pressures to actually make progress, be productive human beings. So really, we want to have some stress in our lives, and that's good. It's really like a good level of stress. But you can also, if it builds a little too much, you kind of cross that threshold of bad stress territory, where what you really have are too many stressors on you, and you're unable to manage them. It can lead to anxiety.
So usually you'd see like someone like it's classic overachiever that likes to take on a lot of things. That yes person probably has more bad stress than good stresses in the end.
Yes. They've taken on way too many stressors in their life, and they're paying for it.
I am guilty of that.
Same here.
So I've heard that a lot of people tend to use the terms stress, anxiety, and panic somewhat interchangeably. These are all different things, right?
Right. So like stress, we all have stress. It could be the pressure from a job or maybe a project you're working on. Things like that can add stress. Once your stress levels build up, when you cross over into anxiety territory, that's a little different. That's where now you're just worrying about the future. You know, it's not so much of, you know, what's happening right now that you're stressed out about, but you're constantly looking ahead and concerned about things that may never happen. You're just making things up sometimes, and you really believe it. So anxiety is kind of this like looking forward, worrying about things yet to happen. And then the next level, when you have all of this built-up anxiety, your body needs a physical release for this tension, and what happens is we have panic and panic attacks. So you might hear about your friends or people that have had panic attacks, and it's just their body's way of releasing everything. And this can happen. I know this has happened to me before. I was that overachiever student. I was working. I was volunteering at a museum, and one day I came home, and I'm sitting on the couch at my mother's house, and I think, oh my gosh, I'm having a gallbladder attack. And I'm like talking to my mom, like, this is really happening. I'm having a gallbladder attack. Please take me to the hospital. So she, of course, took me there, and I'm in the emergency room, and they're like, you're having a panic attack. It's merely anxiety. So I was just like, but these physical symptoms, and they're like, no, that's how your body is reacting. It's trying to release all this tension that I've built up. And it can happen anyway. This was someone that I was talking to had said that a similar thing happened to them. They didn't know what the feeling was, this panic feeling. And they had their mom drive them to the emergency room because they thought they had overdosed on water that day. It's like they don't know why your body is doing this. You can create some reason that you think, and it turns out just to be panic, a release, really.
And do you think we see this happening a lot to students more often than not, just because of all the pressures that they might be under to either achieve highly, whether that's pressure they place on themselves or externally from parents or friends or family?
Absolutely. Every year there's a national college health surveys that go out to students across the United States. Although students will survey different health issues and report different issues that they're having, anxiety and stress are always the highest percentage among men and women. Graduate students and undergraduate students experience this. And it can be anything. It can be in this time of year, too. We're at final exams. You have pressure for your schoolwork. You have projects that are due. Due dates are always right on top of each other. We have our outside lives, our jobs, relationships, and we have things like the holidays, which can be very stressful for people, not only family relationship-wise, but also financially. Everything's coming together at one time of year, and we're all paying for it.
Oh, absolutely. It's the culmination of the end of the year, just in general, too, during the fall semester.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different things in play here. So during these times, these high-stress times, what are some things that students can do to help relieve stress?
There's a lot you can do. And the first thing is really recognizing that, hey, I might be under stress. When I told my story about my panic attack, I was doing all this stuff, but I didn't think it was a problem. I was like, oh, I can handle it. I'm doing fine. But I bet when I told you about it, you were like, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. So just recognizing, taking a step back and recognizing like everything that's on your plate, is it a lot? Even if you think you can handle it, there are steps you can take to kind of manage everything. Some things to start, although I hate to say it, reducing caffeine intake can actually help.
Oh, no.
I know.
I mean, this podcast is all about staying caffeinated,
I know. It's just one thing. But like I said, I have peppermint tea today, which is very calming. You can try other herbal teas or even just hot water with lemon. But caffeine is
fine. Or just water, too. I mean, the more water you drink, the better off
Absolutely.
You are.
Absolutely. Staying hydrated, but don't overdose on it.
Don't overdose on water. I will take away today with that.
So other things that you can do, and these are things that I like to do, so I'll just kind of talk about those a little bit. Easy breathing exercises. You can do these anywhere. When you're driving in the car, if you're at the library, take 2 minutes. You can set a little timer on your phone or your smartwatch, whatever you have, and just do slow, thoughtful breathing in and out. And it really kind of calms your mind. It brings you kind of back to a more peaceful state. It's just 2 minutes, so it's quick. You can, like I said, do it anywhere. Very easy tactic. Another thing is stepping outside, taking a walk. What's that Passion Pit song, Take a Walk?
Can we get
a sound bite? So exercise obviously is really good. It's very cold right now in upstate New York. So taking small walks around campus is a nice way to, instead of getting out there and running in the snow, you can just,
But if you're in Florida listening, all means, go outside and run if you want to.
And enjoy it for us, please. Another thing that's really gaining popularity is journaling. I don't know if you've heard of this.
But like bullet journaling?
Yeah. And what's cool is like not only does journaling – this isn't like – I mean, you can write down what you did all day, but you can write things like if you are feeling overwhelmed, where were you at that time? Make a note of it. After this class, I was feeling very stressed out. And then later when you look at that, you can say, oh, maybe because I wasn't as prepared as I wanted to be next week, I'm going to make sure I do this. It's kind of realizing how you can help yourself through your journal. You can also keep your to-do list in there and really manage your time more effectively.
Yeah, I know some people use journaling almost as like an art form too. Like they get like really detailed and they color and all sorts of things on them. I've seen some really detailed bullet journals that people have made.
And I think putting that kind of time and like having something really special, like if you pick out a really nice notebook for your journal and you have really nice pens that you like using, it makes it more special. You're more apt to use it and, carry it around with you every day. And it does have a therapeutic benefit to it that you have this thing that you know is there and it helps you.
Now, would you consider a journal and a diary the same thing?
I feel like a journal is more than a diary. I don't know the exact definitions, but beyond going home, pulling it out from under your bed and writing down about the day,
sure,
a journal you can keep on you, and it can have everything in it from your daily schedule, tips that you write down for yourself, all sorts of stuff that you can keep in there.
That makes sense. All right. So as we all know here in this building, there are tons of students here during finals, definitely during midterms too, because the university library is open 24/5. Dewey, I know you keep your regular hours down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's still a heightened number of people in that building already. So what would you say to the students that are already in the library using the facilities to do while they're there, especially if they're there for extended periods of time? Are mm-hmm. there study break opportunities provided by the libraries?
Absolutely. This is something that we've just started at our library. And I know lots of college libraries around the United States are participating in these types of programs. But we have set up stations at the Dewey Library so that our students can stop by on their own time. If they're, been there for a few hours, need to take a study break, just get up, visit one of our stress-less stations, and participate in the activities that we've set up there. Things that we have going on at Dewey are we have an aromatherapy station, which was really popular last semester. It's kind of like aromatherapy on the go. We've researched some different aromas that have therapeutic benefits for people that might be under stress. Obviously, our students are ideal to experience this. Peppermint, as we've talked about earlier, is one of these fragrances. It can have the effect to kind of help you concentrate. So if you are studying, a little peppermint can go a long way. Also, if you drink peppermint tea, it can calm your digestive system, which just helps you feel better. Another thing we have going on is calm coloring stations, which has really taken off in recent years. It's a practice that generates wellness, quietness, and stimulates your brain. It stimulates creativity. So when you're studying and you're focused on this one topic, taking a little time to color in a page can kind of rejuvenate yourself. So we encourage students to take advantage of that. We also offer handouts in the library and online for different types of chair yoga and desk stretches that students can do. Because when you're sitting, usually we're having bad posture, we're hunched over.
I am right now.
Yeah. Let's sit up straight.
Right. I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat and sit. Okay.
We're all sitting up tall. So, doing these desk stretches every hour or so can really help you get things moving, and you won't be so hunched over all the time. And one of the new things that we've done, we have a little nook in our library where students can go. We have puzzles there, some games. We've also just installed a hanging mobile. And the effect of the mobile is it's balanced and all the elements are in constant motion. So not only is it really nice to look at, but if you look up at it while you're studying, it can kind of help create an inner peace because it has such therapeutic, graceful, calming movements. So
I have seen pictures of this.
Yes.
So I'll have to get down to Dewey and check it out.
Oh, it's super, super nice. There's other things that students can do too while they're at the library or even on their own to de-stress. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I recommend is downloading some either extensions for your browser or apps to help you focus, because I find if I'm really focused on my work, I am less stressed because I know I'm giving my time to that particular project. And some things that you could do, look for an app called Stay Focused, which is a Google Chrome extension, and you can set it to limit yourself on websites like Facebook and Twitter. So it tells you, oh, you've spent 15 minutes on Twitter today. I'm going to block this web page, and you can just focus on your work, basically.
Now, is that compatible with Android and iOS? Because the smartphones can also be a big discretion. I know that I've used similar programs on my laptop when I was a student.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just pick up my phone and start there.
That's a good point.
So
There are definitely apps that can do that for you on iPhone and Android. So it's definitely worth, if you're going to be using multiple tools like that, I would have something on each. And another thing, too, that I find really useful, have you heard of OmWriter?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty cool. So it will set up on your screen, your browser screen, mm-hmm. a template. Think of Microsoft Word, sure. except it's based on nature. So it's got this very minimal background, beautiful natural sounds when you type, and you can change it to be different settings. So they have one setting that's like a galaxy, where your screen is a galaxy, but you have your words that you're typing across the screen. And then you can just pull everything you've written, pop it into Word.
Oh, that is cool. What is that called again? Because I'm going to write it down for myself.
So that's OmWriter. It's OmWriter.
All right. So I know I'll be taking advantage of that, and I hope all our listeners check that out too. Yeah. So those are some of the opportunities that are down at Dewey. And I just want to stress too, to our listeners that might frequent the Uptown campus, there are tons of opportunities similar to Dewey's that we have available at our library up here. So puzzles, coloring, cookies, all that good stuff. And you can check it out on our website. I think there's a news release with links to both these programs going on. So check it out at library.albany.edu. If you're a librarian listening or looking for ideas, definitely check that out too. And if you want to contact Lauren maybe for some ideas as well, all the information is available on our websites if you're looking to get something started at your own university. So Karina usually likes to end each episode by asking our guests to share with us what they are currently reading. So I'll follow suit with her. So what are you reading nowadays, Lauren?
Well, I am currently reading a book. It's kind of nerdy, but it's awesome.
That's all right.
It's called The American Duchess Guide to Historical Dressmaking, and it is a guide to making costumes based on beautiful gowns from 1700s. So it's nerdy, but it's just so beautiful and awesome. I love it.
Now, is that just a personal interest to you, or is something yes. that you actually focus on the side?
Personal interest, and I do a lot of 18th century history, so this just was published, and if you're into that, it's really, really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today, Lauren. It's been a pleasure. And I hope you'll come back maybe for future episodes too. Who knows?
I'd love to
talk about some other stuff.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So that's all the time we have left for today. I want to thank all our listeners for sticking with us and tuning in each month. And in closing, as Karina would say, remember to read. Read as if the future depends on it, because it does. Thanks.